Well, if you could open up your Bibles with me to Psalm 119. I believe I'm supposed to finish offertory before Monday, so we're not going to go through the whole chapter, just a few verses. If you could turn specifically, we'll start in verse 9. You know, I was thinking this past week back when I was a young person before I came to the Lord, and there was actually a period of time, as I thought back on it, that I was actually a pretty avid reader. I would read a lot of different books, and that was not me prior to that, and not really me after that. But there was a period of time, and I started to think about it, and it was a pretty difficult time growing up during that season that I would read a lot. And as I thought back to kind of why I was maybe drawn in that way, is it would in many ways kind of be an escape for a short time as I'm reading, and there'd be times I'd stay up through the night trying to finish this book I'm reading, and it was almost like a way to pretend like I wasn't where I was and I wasn't going through the things that we were going through. And yet the thing about it is the moment I got to that last page and you close that book, nothing had changed. And specifically, nothing had changed in me. So any of the fears or the anger or the sorrow that was there was still there. The way of thinking was still there. And in many ways, different resources that we go through, whether it be the world, man's wisdom, different outlets that people begin to go to escape or to try to feel better, that's really what it is it's a temporary thing. Yeah, for a short time, maybe you feel a little bit better, but what change does it really bring in your life? In Psalm 119, in verse 9, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." What you see is there's a keeping, there's an abiding and a staying that begins to come in. There's a change that begins to come in. It says, "With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." If you were to go with me as well back into Psalm 19, we see as well in reference to the Word of God, as he tells us in verse 7 of Psalm chapter 19, that the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Tells us as well that his word rejoices the heart and lightens the eyes in verse 8. You go down to verse 11, it says, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me." You begin to read these words and you realize that when we go to the Word of God and we begin to meditate on the Word of God, as these passages will say in verse 14, as well as in Psalm 119, that passage will finish in the same way. God begins to then, as he promises, keep his word in our heart. And unlike every other resource we begin to go to, God begins to bring this truth back. And there begins to be conviction when needed. There begins to be a reminder when needed, an encouragement, a strengthening in his word that you don't find in any other resource that you begin to turn to. I go to this because I'm actually going to call Donald up. And I think you kind of almost had a feeling I was going to, but you actually started to share some of this testimony with the men this morning, but you were in the workplace this past week, and you were having a particularly difficult day. There was some different attacks coming your way and from an individual, and actually an individual in authority within your workplace as well. And I'll let you kind of share. You started to kind of wrestle with some of that, didn't you?
I knew when I was telling the story, he was asking a lot of questions about it. I was getting really specific. I was like, man, I'm going to end up in offertory. So we've been going through James. And so the book of James is about, you know, having that. It's like that case study of what genuine faith looks like when you go through trials. So, of course, I'm not thinking about that when I'm going through the situation at work. And as these different attacks are coming in, yeah, I knew as a Christian I'm not supposed to walk in anger. And so I tried to just keep kind of pushing it down and just dismissing it and just keep doing what I'm doing. But they kept coming and they didn't stop. And eventually that's going to well up and you're not going to be able to keep pushing that down. And so what really triggered the Holy Spirit is when I knew I was starting to feel those different emotions, and then I started to think of different responses to give in that emotion. You know, different ways to say something back, be snappy, or, you know, not do something. And as soon as I started thinking about that, that's really when the Holy Spirit, you know, made known to me, like, okay, this is not walking in the Spirit. And so I knew that's just not the way I'm supposed to be as a Christian. You know, you begin to train your senses and realize, you know, what walking like Christ looks like.
You felt he was almost kind of asking you a question that moment of, where have you been reading recently, Don?
Exactly, because I had been praying for him to kind of unlock the book of James for me in that last chapter, chapter 5, and because I was wanting to understand it. And James 1 says, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask for it. And if he believes that God will give it to him, God will give it to him. And I believe that. And they definitely gave it to me. So I'm in that situation, and he just starts bringing those different verses to mind. And I'm remembering, okay, you know, the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. You know, the heart of the king is like channels of water in God's hand. And what genuine faith looks like going through trials, you know, I'm not going to be thinking of myself. I'm not going to be hypocritical. I'm not going to be given into anger. I'm not a victim. You know, I'm a sinner just like everybody else. And God's going to be perfecting me until the day I go home. So instead of trying to be, you know, Mr. Righteous, you know, accept God's mercy and compassion and grow and be drawn closer to him. So in that situation, you know, God has compassion on other people. He doesn't think of himself, and he's not a victim. So I begin to think about this person, and I know different things that they struggle with and that they're going through, and they're not a Christian, so they don't have the peace that I get to receive, and they don't have all the blessings I get to have in my life. So as I begin to take my eyes off myself, because, you know, that's the best way to get out of anger, is to start thinking of other people. So I started praying for him, and instantly, like, there was a peace, and then, you know, he started, it was like instantly everything just like stopped, and I knew that God heard that, and I knew that he was listening. And so, you know, as a Christian, I desire for my life to look like Christ, and being in his word, it's the only way you're going to understand what that looks like. So, you know, I desire to walk in the Spirit, and that's what we were talking about this morning. And God's always calling you to him. You know, he desires to seek and save that which is lost. And that was something he was teaching me, because in James, that's what he's saying throughout the whole book. He's wanting to save you. So if you have faith in Christ, you're going to go through those trials. That's just a given. But the whole point of him is God's drawing you to him. And so that's what he revealed to me at that time, was he was pulling me out of my anger. He was pulling me out of myself so that I could love this man and understand that as a Christian, you know, as God took on our pain and he showed us love, now we get to turn the other cheek with other people and show them love so that they don't go and destroy others. And they don't hurt themselves. But instead, you know, we can be a part of that saving work. You know, I wasn't going to see that unless God took me through this, unless I was reading. So Psalms 119 is, you know, perfect for that. And, yeah, that was.
And one of your prayers in this was, is God would make these passages real.
Yeah.
That you didn't want this to just be a head knowledge. And I think it was in the midst of that, I remember you sharing, it was like you realized, God, you did answer that prayer.
Mm-hmm. And that's really where that joy came from. Yeah. Was realizing, you know, it is true. You are unlocking this for me. Like, this is real. Like, it has power. You just have to believe it and believe it's from God.
Thanks, so, brother.
Yeah.
Precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You realize that God has so much in store for us through the power of his Spirit and in his word. If we'll just turn to him and not all of these other voices and these other resources, God desires to do a great work in our life and cause us to be more like his son. And I just praise him for that, don't you? Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning. We just thank you for giving us your word. Lord, the times in which even the conviction that begins to come in at times, that you reveal that we're operating in ourselves and the wrong way of thinking, but through your word and through your spirit, you begin to transform our heart and you begin to cause us to think differently. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for that work that you do, and that, Lord, you give us your word and you remind us of it at just the right time. Lord, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.